All right, folks, welcome to the Fluff Tube Edition with SG. And I don't even like to say the little last part there, but SG is joining me back again. We're going to be talking in length on Nino's Corner.tv, the strategy of Kamala Harris and Trump, what we see happening within the next 2 months that is too hot for Fluff Tube. So get your butts over to Nino's Corner.tv. We're going to be killing it over there. It's going to be very, very intense. Well, we're going to be talking about what we can expect to happen in this country within the next 2 to 3 months. We're going to be war gaming over at Nino's Corner.tv. Until then, we're going to go ahead and be talking about the escalation of World War III, what's happening with Iran, what's happening with Israel, Lebanon, the whole Middle East, Russia, all of it. SG, it's always a pleasure to have you on, my man.
Thanks for having me, Nino. Good to be back.
So where do we begin with this? U.S. sends stern warning to Iran against attacking Israel. It's like saying, you can't do that. We know we gave you a lot of money. We gave you a lot of money, billions of dollars for your nuclear program, but you can't attack Israel. What's going on here, SG?
You know, fundamentally, I think what you've got going on is an intentional destabilization between state or what we would call, entrenched factions within inside both the Iranian Tehran government and actually the government in Baghdad as well, and the government out of Tel Aviv and out of Jerusalem in Israel. And I highlight government specifically to paint the distinction between that and the people groups that are in these nations. And so what we've got is we have a situation where Iran, if we go back and do a little bit of homework, is heavily involved in what is referenced online by certain entities as a closed financial network, sort of a bubble outside of the SWIFT system. That network has allowed for a tremendous amount of criminality that we've discussed a lot of times on your show, and that I think the internet movement out there is sort of becoming very saturated in an awareness of at this point. And so it's expected then that we would see an intentional destabilization happening in one of these arenas, and that's happening right now. You have the U.S.-based Washington, D.C. arm of this particular group, this particular extension, what we would call the false corporocracy here in the Western world, that is attempting to stave off the inevitable by providing the backdrop, if you will, to enact certain extraordinary measures to prevent the inevitable. And the irony with that, Nino, is in so doing, they actually give us all of the basis needed to collapse certain other arenas, not the least of which deals with the flow of value exchange worldwide, and retake those arenas and repurpose them on behalf of we the people groups in all nations. And so this escalation is actually playing right into the broader picture and into the broader mission. And we can expect, I think, a tremendous amount of involvement in a short period of time, potentially hours or a couple of days, from a number of other nations in this regional theater as this response that we're still waiting for from Tehran eventually kicks off.
And Syrian forces have began capturing Syrian oil fields from the U.S. forces. Have you heard about this?
Indeed, I have. And they're utilizing Russian reconnaissance, Russian supportive infrastructure, and in a lot of cases, Russian intelligence and equipment to go and execute these operations. Assad and Putin have met multiple times over the last 4 years, and even a couple of times since Putin's undertakings began in Ukraine in 2022. And so we've got a coordinated system here where, if we think back to a certain administration here in the United States, very early on, we saw the launch of cruise missiles into Syria by that administration, targeting weapons compound. And that compound was actually, if we go in and again do our homework, it was a compound that was primarily funded and protected by paramilitary forces that were contracted back to the Central Intelligence Group of the United States. So now we have these Syrian forces undertaking further reclamation, further augmentation or destruction in some regards of territorial incursion that over the last 30 years has primarily been, and certainly in the last 15 years, has been primarily spearheaded by those same paramilitary intelligence groups and intelligence agencies that work outside of the purview of your traditional chain of command. And in a lot of ways, that puts them outside of black letter law.
You know, as all this is escalating, and we know, and you're in agreement with me, right, SG, that this all needs to kick off before the November cycle, right? I mean, this needs to be in full escalation before then, correct?
It would not surprise me if we saw a great deal of this as it pertains to the Middle East region itself specifically, underway and in full force by the end of this month, quite frankly, Nino. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I agree with you. But, you know, I was also going to say here that not to mention with just what's happening in the Middle East, but in Ukraine, Ukraine has finally got the first batch of American-made F-16 fighter jets from NATO. So it's like Russia's getting involved in all fronts now, correct? With Iran, Israel, and now with still fighting the war in Ukraine. It's like we're poking the bear, correct?
We are, but we have to remember as well, and this is where this unusual warfare landscape plays out. Putin is also on a mission of his own in exposing the Iranian faction of that same military intelligence apparatus that has been essentially co-opted and propped up, by the American military machine and governmental machine since the early 1970s, really pre the rise of Khomeini. And so what we've got going on here is we're pitting all of the different sides of the triangle or all of the different sides of the heptagon, if we want to take it even further, against themselves in this sort of focalized cross-polygon fashion. And the situation in Ukraine is certainly feeding into that. We've got a number of different exchanges that have been made between Russia and Tehran. We have a number of different exchanges that have been made between Russia and North Korea. We know that there have been video footage now, in at least one instance that was leaked on Telegram. And I'm not so sure that it was supposed to have gotten out into the public for Nino, but it purports to show North Korean military equipment on a rail line headed west. So we have situations here where Putin is doing what his role, I think, in the broader mission of worldwide superstructured destabilization is required. We're seeing the same from a certain political figure here in the United States of America. We're seeing the same from the events now happening with the Venezuelan government in South America. And it's worth noting, you know, that for good or for ill, the Venezuelan government is in possession of the same colored document and what appears to be the same template and format for extraordinary emergency powers that we have photographic evidence a number of other very powerful players in this movement also have. Putin, Kim, and that political figure here in the United States, all of those gentlemen being one of them. So this is a much broader effort to achieve worldwide longitudinal objectives. We're dealing with pain and suffering in the immediate term, in the here and now, in the current form, in the day-to-day, because we are extracting a very old, very entrenched, very well adept and well equipped structure of power from all of the different nodes around the planet.
And if you listen to Don Jr. and I guess Trump is going on Elon in the next week or so. I can't remember when that is going to be exactly, but I'm going to watch it. They're really making a push to cryptocurrency. I've noticed this. As they're discussing this, as they're pushing, they're kind of hinting to people like that's where this is going. Am I right in saying that, SG? And also, while they're speaking about this, China is actually, I just had a guest on talking about this. China is absolutely, utterly in full collapse right now. I mean, and their weaknesses are really exposed. If we ever really wanted to go against China, the Three Gorges Dam would be the prime target. I mean, China is very, very, very weak right now and very, I would say, in a very fragile state, more so than America, correct? I guess that's a two-part thing to talk about, the cryptocurrency and then China being already of collapse, basically.
Well, it's interesting that one sort of informs the events of the other and so forth back through the vicious circle, and that's exactly what we're seeing played out. You know, when Trump made the commentary on the interview that he, you know, we could potentially reconcile the national debt by handing him a little Bitcoin, and then he, you know, sort of made that face that he makes when he knows something's coming. You know, who's to say that we're using Bitcoin? Who's not to say, excuse me, that we're using Bitcoin just as a misnomer, right, to talk about some form of quantum capable digital asset that allows for the reconciliation of something like that at the public forum. We know the actual reconciliation happened quite a long time ago, but actually going through the collapse, destructure, restructure, and reinstitution phase that all of that sort of requires, we have to make it accessible for all of the peoples of the world in a way that they understand. And I think we're seeing that literally played out right before our very eyes. At the exact same time, we have the Chinese economy in the worst fashion that it has ever been. It's not been that long ago that forces within the CCP attempted a second coup against President Xi in China, because President Xi's actions, while received by the rest of the world as some sort of domineering attitude or this worldwide domination agenda, and I guess in literal plain text interpretation, it is that. But fundamentally, the rollout of that sort of agenda with the economic situation in the Western world has nearly collapsed the entirety of the industrial base of the Chinese economy. Additionally, the Chinese people have begun essentially an internal pocket form revolution across different provinces. And we've had video evidence emerging, I mean, pretty continuously over the last 6 to 7 months, showing unrest in different small cities and villages. In some cases, we had unrest in larger industrial centers like Guangzhou. We've seen at least one Apple factory burned down in that region. We've seen a number of different food operations attacked by the locals in those regions and overwhelming the authorities' ability to maintain control and to keep things going. So this is essentially the predication of exactly what you stated a moment ago, that they're next of kin to full collapse. And when we see that happen, I think that's when you will see a concurrent military campaign exploding in the Pacific region as the last dying breath of the CCP trying to maintain its own power. The reunification of Taiwan is sort of a bonus through all of this. And that destabilization is very likely to give the mortal blow that finally crushes the Western European and North American markets as well.
So do you see China? I would imagine all of this needs to happen before Mr. T gets into office, because he is, from my understanding, and I don't know if you've heard this, he's told Netanyahu to his face. Now, this is just, folks, allegedly hearsay. I don't know if it's true, but rumors are he told him, whatever you got to do, you better do it before I get in office, because when I get in office, it all ends right there. Have you heard anything like that, SG? And do you think China will attack Taiwan before Mr. T makes a move?
China is the wild card in this situation as we look at the sequence of geopolitical events, Nino, and historically they always have been. The Chinese are world renowned over a very long period of time as being espionage capable and certainly having some of the best poker faces as a culture and as a people. And they wage war in that fashion. So understanding when exactly they'll make their move is nigh of impossible. However, when we look at the convergence of events, the wild card that is in Pyongyang with Kim Jong-un and his partnership now, not directly with Xi in Beijing, but more directly with Moscow and Russia and Putin, we also have to acknowledge that China is now not in total control anymore of what happens thematically and operationally in the Pacific. If North Korea undertakes certain militarized actions, for example, Beijing may have no choice but to respond, sort of like a false start in football, and then everybody jumps off of the line. And so in that particular layout and in the layout of what's happening with Israel and what's happening in the Middle East, China essentially has their hands in both theaters. They're on a two-front situation as it stands right now. They share a border with Afghanistan. I think they also share part of a border with Pakistan. I know that they share border territory with India. All of those Central Asian players are going to be heavily involved economically for certain, perhaps even militarily, with the events of the Middle East. China is engaged in arms brokering in the Middle East and in Africa even now, and has been for the last couple of years, and has also been providing military support and diplomatic support, including technology, to major players like Saudi Arabia. So with the play out of what happens in Israel with Netanyahu and the meeting that occurred in Florida, I think it was just a few weeks back, I've heard similar of what you
So
said
you
a
have
moment
heard
ago.
similar.
I've heard similar towards that. I've also heard things coming out online. Again, I can't confirm them. That's why I don't go public with them on the audio files yet. But I will say, from a speculative nature, they are sort of fascinating. purporting the reclamation of certain U.S. technologies and intellectual property patents with the events that are coming to the state of Israel and to the Tel Aviv government. We have Erdogan in Turkey that just, I think it was 7 or 8 days ago now, made the statement very plainly, unambiguously to the press that the Turkish army can enter Israel the same as they have entered other countries before to restore order. And that historically, you know, in an interesting way, you know, has always been how the Ottoman Turks have functioned. The Ottomans, a great deal of that history has been omitted from the record or rewritten for Western audiences. Some of the sultans were actually very measured rulers, and they were very tolerant of other groups. You did have radicals, of course, along in the way, but fundamentally, as a people, the Turks represent themselves as sort of the most reasonable, most logical, maybe Vulcan style is the best way to say it for those Star Trek fans out there, of the Muslim world. And so we're seeing this ideological and cultural alignment across a number of different players. China will obviously respect that because Turkey is headed into the BRICS trade nations at this present time. They're just waiting, I think, for the final paperwork to clear. And we know that the Russian and Chinese navies have also been involved in joint drills at the same time that these other events are happening. So when you look at the whole of the picture, you begin to realize that this is essentially coordinated. This is a worldwide effort with a much broader focus, and everybody is operating within their respective theaters with specific mission objectives that inform the overall whole, which is the reclamation of our world arenas of power and the reimagining, and I think the redefining in some ways, of how we do certain things such as international commerce exchange.
I agree with you. What's your thoughts on XRP? Let's talk about that. And then when we finish with that, let's wrap it up on ninoscorner.tv. Let's talk about Tim Walz and Kamala. Let's talk about a potential hostile. I think that what they're going to go for is the manufacturing, the use of AI, the use of the MSM to manufacture this. And that will be their strategy moving forward. I'm saying that I doubt even a debate will occur. I'll be very surprised if one does happen. But everything is pointing to a hostile takeover once again in 2024. But first, before we get into that, and we'll do that on ninoscorner.tv, but what's your thoughts on XRP and Bitcoin shooting up? Do you think, and I know XRP just won the lawsuit or whatever, if it's not a security. So what's your thoughts on XRP? Do you think that's going to be the bridge for the money now? Or how do you see this playing out with XRP and Bitcoin?
Well, I will say that the crypto arena is somewhat out of my wheelhouse. But as I look at the events that are happening with the broader mission, again, that we're talking about with the reimagining and the redefinition of worldwide finance markets, it seems very, very interesting that we should have such a ruling coming out against the SEC involving the one major digital token, the one major quantum capable or soon to be quantum capable blockchain asset transit channel that is positioned right now and has been in development for a very long time by the same actors that I think we repossessed a great deal of asset control and wealth from by virtue of certain executive orders. And a lot of that we can't get into on this particular platform. But suffice to say, there was a great deal of control taken away from worldwide globalist actors as the result of certain orders that came out from 2017 to 2020 and the events that happened from 2019 up through February of 2022. And so now we have the world's essentially, I think, the only cross-border token facilitation channel being involved in an extremely large lawsuit that's going to set the standard for how we define a lot of the digital landscape anyway. And they've now been essentially absolved of certain regulatory requirements that would function essentially as a governor's plate, like you know how a governor's plate functions on an engine. You suppress the ability of it to grow and expand even further artificially. And so we've seen that, you know, that governor's plate essentially removed in this ruling. What's very optimistic about this, Nino, is a lot of people who are much more versed in this subject matter than I am have been talking about the need to build an interfaceable system across different types of financial banking rules within certain countries, because every country gets to set their own financial rules, but then their systems have to agree on how to talk to other systems worldwide that may have different rules internally. We have to have a common set of rules for the international exchange and then a common or excuse me, a measurable standard of how we determine how that expresses itself, I guess is the best way to say it, inside national border states. And XRP and Ripple are now positioned essentially to facilitate exactly that process. So fundamentally, this works, I think, into that broader worldwide lens of removing the old restrictions and constraints and the artificial obstructions that existed within the prior system, and building out simultaneously a next generation system that takes the best from the old system and marries it with the new.
Fair enough. SG, let's get to the back channel. Let's talk about what, you know, what I've noticed, what's coming out right now, which I believe is the art of war, complete art of war by Trump, is everything's coming out right now. If you pay attention to the X platform and pundit and all these, you know, right-leaning syndicates, they're coming out with a lot of exposure of 2020. It's all pouring out right now, which is right on time going into 2024. So I want to talk to you on ninoscorner.tv, which about the Kamala and Tim Walz, the manufacturing of it, the what we're going to see, the strategies going into 24, these next couple months. Are they going to show up for a debate? Are they not? What do you think is going to happen? What kind of civil unrest could happen? So let's get on that. Let's talk about that on ninoscorner.tv. Folks, meet us over there. I'll be having this up at least by tonight. So, because there's a lot of stuff coming out on 2020 right now, SG, are you game?
Indeed.
All right, let's get over there. All right, folks, see you at ninoscorner.tv.